Hey guys, welcome to the Extroverted Introverts podcast. I'm your host, Ebony, and here's your weekly insight into me being my extremely outgoing yet reserved self as I navigate my way through love, life, and the pursuit of happiness. So this week, my favorite things are watching My 600-Pound Life on TLC. I never watched that show before. My cousin would always tell me I should watch it. And I was like, nah, I don't really watch TV. But I just happened to stumble across this Saturday. Oh my God, that show is so interesting. As a person who is struggling or has had struggles her whole life with being a bit on the thick side, or very much on the thick side, however you'd like to describe it. I always try to find a balance with how I see myself and my limitations and boundaries with my body and where I want to go and how what my fitness goals and things like that are. And they examine these people's issues from like a pathological and emotional level versus just, oh, you just need to eat right and get your shit together. And it's way deeper than that. And I appreciate that approach. Not that I'm 600 pounds or anywhere near that. It's just, I can see how things like that can get out of control if you don't deal with them from jump or don't know how to deal with them. People don't even think that food should be treated like medicine. They don't really. I had to learn that when I was going through some things with my health at one point. I had to learn how to basically eat healthy. I would just indulge and treat myself to things because I could, you know, when you're like not living, you're on your own and you can finally have Doritos for breakfast, lunch and dinner with, you know, which without consequence. And then you turn 20 and you're like, wait a minute, nothing's coming off like it used to when I would just eat a burrito for breakfast and I would still be, you know, slim and thick in the right places and stuff. That didn't happen. That happened and it just... Anyway, My 600-Pound Life on TLC is very eye-opening and insightful, and it's kind of helping me a little bit in the reverse type of way. I don't know how to explain it. Additionally, my favorite thing this week musically has been low-key that Lil Nas X song. I don't know why I like it, but I do. I don't even like country music, but I like it. It's whack, but it's fun. Lastly, salads have made their way back into my life and I'm starting to like them a little bit more. And walking, it's therapeutic as hell. Like I try and get in an hour, at least 5 days out of the week with my kids or by myself. And that's been pretty, pretty good for me. And that's a wrap on my favorite things for this week. I just want to thank you all for tuning in to the show thus far. I really had a good time with the show last week with my husband as we reviewed kind of poorly, but it was fun. The movie Us. Also, right after we had recorded, we both got news that Nipsey Hussle was basically murdered, and that really took us for it jolted us in a way. And I kind of wanted this week to talk about like how it affected me this week. And it's weird that like I had just kind of started to find out about Nipsey and his music last year. And I never really listened to him on the music front, but I always watched and observed him on like the I guess conscious and entrepreneurial front. A little bit about myself. I am from the south side of St. Louis, which is pretty rough in all the, you know, areas that you would think a place like that would be. More in depth, I am from what they call the state streets. Like if it's named after like a state like Oregon, Ohio, Minnesota, things like that on the south side of St. Louis, it's pretty rough over there. You probably don't want to go over there if you don't know where you're going or who you're going to see. I always envisioned myself as, you know, as a person who was going to leave that place, like the rose that grew from the concrete, and go back to where I came from and find some way to give back to the community in which I grew up in, because I knew that if I was in that place wanting and knowing that there was more and better out there, then there were other people in the same place who just didn't have the same opportunities and, you know, wanted the same things. And so I wanted to, you know, additionally go back to those places and provide opportunity for, you know, people in the communities I came from, because like the hood is nothing but people who know how to survive off, just survive, one, know how to thrive off of trauma and lack of resources to make the best of any situation. It's a lot of people full of hurt at the same time too. So if you can make it out, like get the fuck out. And most people don't look back. However, Nipsey was the person that was like, no, I'm from here. I know what it's like for these people here. And so I'm going to invest in these people here. Not every, like people treat the hood or poor people like they're just something to throw away. And, you know, they'll appropriate things and take from it, but don't give back or give credit to where they got it from to uplift the community. Like they'll go and gentrify the shit, but then displace those people. So it's like Nipsey was one of those people who was actually buying property, buying real estate, a founder or a co-founder of a STEM program for kids. And those things are, you know, that's why I followed him to an extent. I don't know everything, but it just was something I admired about him. And it's like, as an empathic person, you can sense people's energies and spirits and stuff like that. And I just got a sense that he was overall a good person. I mean that in the least sappiest way possible, in the most sincere way possible. But it was just like, I don't know, it affected me in a way. And it was weird because I typically don't get affected by things like that. But when I heard it or when I saw it on social media and on the internet, I was just like, damn, like that's super unfortunate. It was triggering to me as well, like losing someone like that. I guess I empathize with Lauren, and it was just an emotional thing. And I know like people have their own conspiracies and as to what happened, but it's like when you're from a place just built on lack of resources, survival, you kind of, if you know, you don't know where the fuck your next meal is going to come from, or people are threatening to cut off your lights and your hot water and shit like that, you really don't want to hear nobody talking shit about how great life is and how they can improve, if you can improve your life just by thinking different. It's really hard to see past that shit when you are actually going through it. And like, oops. And so like, when you're in a place and you stand out like that and you make it out like that, not everyone is going to be happy for you. And it's hard to really tell if those people are going to be in your circle, people who you know, or just strangers and shit like that. And most of the times it's people who are closest to you who really are rooting from you, like in your face, but behind your back. They really don't, you know, care to see you win. Even if you winning means that they eat, that they win too. Even if your come up equates to their come up too. Sometimes people really just don't know how to get outside of their ego, get outside of themselves to really see the benefit or the good that you are trying to do for the whole and not just for yourself. So this week, I really was thinking about like, one, reflecting on myself, knowing and understanding what my life's purpose is, and knowing that I have a lot of ways to grow into that. I don't have it all figured out, but I know what I want to do. And to me, that is half the battle. Every time I put something out there and spoke to God about like what I wanted and what I saw for myself, God always gave me what I needed, and it would directly align with the things that, you know, I felt connected to spiritually. So it may not have looked exactly the way I wanted it to look, but it was 150,000% of what I needed. And so this week I've just been thinking about like my purpose and how I want to give back to my community and those in it and that are affected by, you know, just poverty and disenfranchisement, lack of opportunity and lack of resources. And, you know, one way that when I first moved here and I started to get on my feet, I wanted to do something here. This is a community in Orlando that my kids are growing up in. And I want to make positive and affect change in that way, too. So I found a mentor program. I found a volunteer database, and it will connect you with things that are your interest. I think it's like volunteer.org or something like that. And it actually, I was on the list for some years, and I kept turning down opportunities because I didn't think I was worthy, to be honest with you. I didn't see my own light in how I could add value to someone's situation because I didn't think of myself too highly in those moments because everyone has their moments, right? So anyway, I got in touch with a coordinator for a high school here in like an urban community. I hate that. It's mostly black area. I hate when people say urban community because you know what they're talking about. Just say black people. Anyway, I was connected and I became a mentor to this junior in high school. And she was the sweetest girl, very athletic. I don't know how or why they paired me up with her because I don't know nothing about sports. Jesus. But it was like the benefit in just her having someone to talk to. I remember being, you know, young and wanting some direction and not really knowing that I needed direction, but I knew that I wanted it. Like I always had a vision or an idea for my life, but I really did not know how to get there. I've always been a visionary. I've just never really been able to put the pieces into action. Well, not when I was younger. I really didn't know how to put the pieces into line them up, honestly. So there was a lot of things that I wanted to do that I knew I could do. I just didn't know how to get there or see it through 100%. So I felt blessed to be able to be a blessing to someone. And then later on, I was able to get connected in another philanthropic thing. And it just, and, you know, volunteering at schools and stuff like that, like giving back to the youth because they, you know, really do need it. And they sometimes just need somebody to tell them that they are worthy. That's as simple as that. Like they are worthy. They're worthy of love. They're worthy of, you know, friendship, they're worthy of success, they are worthy of, you know, happiness. Sometimes people, as adults, we don't even hear that enough. And like, one of the reasons why I'm super big on like women empowerment, it started with like my support system, my support group, like my friends and my family. I've seen where the stereotype of like, oh, women can't get along and all that bullshit. Like, it's true to a certain extent. I think it's people, not just designated to women, because there are plenty of men. Like, all the wars have been led by whom? Men. So it's like, it's not like, I don't know why women get that bad of a rep. Like, men are competitive too. Women are competitive too. People are competitive. But anyway, like, I realized that, you know, we get further together than we do alone. And so I really like to do things that help out like my fellow women in any way I can, like giving advice. Like I'm not all the way where I want to be. I'm not perfect and I'm still working on myself. Like as I work to become more emotionally intelligent, I'm questioning myself in a way that is, you know, manifesting and attracting enlightenment. Whereas like I would handle when I would operate an ego, right? I would respond to things that made my ego feel good. So I felt like I had to check bitches and shit like that for coming at me a certain way because I operated out of ego. Like you got the wrong one and who you talking to and what you gon' and what you won't do and how, you know, all that bullshit. But like now I try and think twice, understand, and, you know, before I respond to things and then take, you know, and then respond. Now, after all that, you know, good Zen shit happens, I'll go to my friends and be like, bitch, this bitch had me fucked the fuck up. I guess I handled it, right? Like, I'll tell them what I wanted to respond and how I would have responded if, you know, Ebony, you know, 1.0 was in effect. But now I am Ebony 2.0 and I'm working on Ebony 3.0 right now. And so I'm working on, you know, just as I'm becoming more emotionally intelligent and enlightened, it makes me feel good to have a good circle and a good opportunity to, you know, boost or establish good energy in the, I guess, in the women that I circle, bring into my circle. Not everyone is going to make it. Like, and it's not always like a bad thing either. Sometimes your energy just doesn't vibe with everybody. And as a human being, like, I don't think you're supposed to get along with everybody. You know, I think that that's a natural selection type of process, a natural filtration process. I don't have the type of personality where I get along with everyone. I understand that, you know, people will be people and, you know, you do you and all that bullshit, but I don't, it sometimes is bullshit, whatever, but I don't always get along with every personality. And sometimes I can sense it. Most of the time I can. Again, I'm an empath. Anyway, so one of the things I do for women empowerment is like, I host a vision board party every year, at the beginning of the year. It was something that I had been doing since I was like 14. And I just, I guess, understood the power of visualization. I was, an introvert. So I spent a lot of time in my room being artsy fartsy. And I collected magazines because one of my things that I wanted to do was become a fashion editor for like Harper's Bazaar or for basically Hearst magazines, right? So anyway, I collected magazines, Cosmopolitan specifically, and I would cut the articles out that I felt like I wanted to resonate with myself. And I would like make a little poster, a vision board basically for myself, and write down my goals, where I thought my life would be, you know, what I thought I would be doing with the rest of my life and things like that. Not everything manifested because I don't think I was really making a connection with this stuff. However, flash forward to, I want to say like 2000, like 10 or so, like I really got back into it thanks to my sister, who I was going through a really low point in that year. And my sister was like feeding me, like edifying me basically with like information and like self-help shit. She introduced me to basically certain things like the law of attraction and other books about like teaching people how to treat you, like psychology and stuff like that. And I didn't realize how powerful it was at the time because I was in my low moment. I was in my survival mode. So I really couldn't see it until I had a humbling that had I had to sit my ass down. And so I had nothing but time on my hands, right? And so I spent that time developing myself on a mental and spiritual level. And I started to create a vision board again in manifesting those things, or just defining and connecting with the things that I wanted to manifest in my life and praying on those things openly, like being very centered with it too. And, you know, making sure I was checking myself to make sure I wasn't operating just out of ego. And it was effective for me, to be honest with you. I was able to get closer with God, get closer with my husband and my kids, and overall make the decision to move to a whole new place. And it was very life-changing, to be honest with you. Flash forward to 2014, I did the same thing, and I put certain things on there, even the company that I wanted to work for. In 12 months later, I was working at that company that I wanted to work for, making the dollars that I wanted to make, doing, you know, the things that I wanted to do and stuff like that, like being very connected with myself and God and what I wanted to attract and manifest in my life, right? So I was like, this is fun. I was telling a friend about it. And I was like, I typically do this with myself or my girls, my daughters. I was thinking of just extending it to, you know, just people like that I'm associated with and stuff like that. She was like, it's a good idea. So I did it, and it was super casual, and it was pretty much a hit. Like, it was a good turnout, and people really liked it, so much so that they were asking about the next one. And so this is like year 3. is it, I think it's year four. It's year three that I've done it collectively, like with a bunch of women and stuff like that. But that's something that I get super excited about. Like, we get together in fellowship, like as women, and work and talk about our goals as women, what we want to do, what we want our lives to look like, encouraging each other. And it's no mess, like no stress. Like, we drink wine and I make something and people bring things, and I supply all the materials and they just come with their goals and some food, and it's good. Like, I really enjoy it. I really look forward to it every year. And that's something that I feel on a small level that I do to support my vision, my goal, and my purpose of, you know, lifting up people and lifting up women, especially, and doing something for the community in which I live in to make it a little bit better. And the takeaway that I got from, you know, the Nipsey Hussle situation was, one, you know, death always makes us realize how precious life is. One, it gives us a sense of morality. I think we get so caught up in like the fairy tale of social media and other people living vicariously through other people that when we get a moment like this, whether or not it's someone close to us or someone that we feel connected to, it gives you a sense of pause and it makes you question things. Like when my grandmother passed away last year, like it really made me do an inventory check on the people in my life and what they represent in it and who I am in their lives as well and what I'm doing with my life. You know, the life that my grandmother lived was not a very great one, but this woman was full of love in spite of all of her shit, all of her traumas, all of her circumstances. And she taught me unconditional love. And so it made me reflect. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, you know, to be able to have experienced that from an ancestor, from my grandmother. And just, you know, so that's one of the things I got from the Nipsey Hussle thing this week. Secondly, I got, you know, just start living, defining what your purpose is. Ask God what your purpose is. Ask God to ground you in your purpose and give you that direction. And, you know, third and most importantly, love yourself. Love yourself. There is nothing that can change your life faster, better, or more effectively than loving yourself. And I work on that every single day. Every day is an opportunity for me to love myself, because sometimes I fall short. Sometimes I get in my own head of thinking I'm not good enough or I could be better at this or da da da. But I have to remind myself, I have to stop and tell myself, like, bitch, if you don't love on yourself right damn now, if you don't say something good about yourself before you get out this car, if you don't say something good to yourself, look at what God has done for you and in your life and through you. Say something good. Think something good. For every negative thought, smack that shit out with three. For every one negative thought about yourself, douse that shit in self-lovery. Every single inch of you deserves to be loved by you. Can't nobody love you the way you need to love you. And in loving yourself, you will truly find God. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I really did have a good time expressing myself, and I appreciate you for tuning in. If you have any tips, tricks, or some of your favorite things that you'd like for me to read aloud on the show, just let me know. You can find me on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker Radio, and SoundCloud. You can also hit me up at Gmail at extrovertintrovertpodcast@gmail.com. That is extrovertintrovertpodcast@gmail.com. See you next week. Bye.